thank you for the Holy Spirit now who will lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, cause your word to come alive on the inside of our hearts. We believe our eyes are open to behold wonderful things from the word of God. We have hearing ears to hear from heaven. Our hearts are stirred. We just spent time worshiping you. We've just got done saying it time and again. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And that means something. And you have something for our lives because of that. And so we thank you today that the Bible has all the answers. Help me to communicate your word in such a manner that we can hear it, we get it, and we go do it. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Shake someone's hand one more time. Tell them, pay attention because God's talking to you today. He is. He talks to us in his word. Amen. Hey, how many here remember your first job? Anybody remember your first job? All right. And my first job, minimum wage was $2.25 an hour, and I was glad to get it, all right? Seems like eons ago. It probably was eons ago. But before I had my first real job where I got a paycheck and a pay stub and all that, my dad raised us with a real good work ethic. My brother and I had paper routes, and we'd mow lawns in the neighborhood and stuff like that. And so for mowing the lawn at my house, and my mother lives if you ever been in my mom's house, it's a big property, it's a corner property, and the backyard now, after the kids grew up and moved out, my dad then put a pool in, right? Where was that pool when we were all little? Couldn't afford it, obviously. And so, but that whole backyard was solid grass. It was just a playground, baseball field, football field, soccer field, whatever it was, whatever the season was, that's what it was. And so there's all kinds of lawn, the front, there was side lawn, backyard lawn, and my dad would make me mow that, and we had an edger, not the kind with power, the kind that's like on a stick, you know what I'm talking, that kind of an edger, all right? Had with spikes, like a wheeled, like a medieval weapon's what it looked like, right? And I had to edge the sidewalk and the curb and all that stuff, and my dad paid me $1 for that, glad to get it. And so when I was maybe 14, I guess, I was mowing lawns in the neighborhood trying to get extra money. And so there was a guy kind of catty corner up the street, but he also had a corner property. But this guy had in one of the older Glendora homes with wraparound porch and all that and picket fence and all that stuff there. And he was real picky about his yard. So he told me if I would do his yard and do a good job, he'd give me $10. $10 was like, $10, whoa, you know, when do I start? It's a three-hour lawn job on Saturdays, all right? And so he took me all, he told me exactly what he expected of me, and he was real picky. Walked me around the whole property. You got to mow all this. You have to edge this. You have to rake all this. You got to put all this stuff in the trash can. These trash cans, not that trash can. You got to sweep the sidewalk off, and when you're done, I'm going to come out. I'm going to walk the whole property and look it all over before I pay you. You follow me? And, you know, and there were some Saturdays I was really ready to do it, and some Saturdays I didn't feel like doing it, and sometimes you try to maybe rake stuff under the bush, and hopefully he won't see it, but he always seemed to see it, you know, like that. But he made it very clear exactly what was expected of me, and if I fulfilled that expectation, there was rewards for it. Let me ask you, do you know what God expects of you? How can I know what God expects from me? Well, the Bible has all the answers. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15, from the New Living Translation, and we'll have all the Bible verses up on the screen, but you can join me if you've got a Bible or on your phone or a tablet or whatever. Ephesians 5:15. In the same way God has expectations of us, he tells us exactly what he expects of us, and there's rewards. There's rewards for fulfilling what he created us to be. Ephesians 5:15 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Well, that's good advice right there, isn't it? Hey, don't be a fool. Be wise. I want to be a wise person. So don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So he wants me to do something. He wants me to be something. He expects something of me. What does God expect from me? Here's what I know. I don't want to waste my life. You know, we all have this gift called time. Time is the greatest resource, not money, not real estate, not your investments. Time is the greatest resource you and I have. It is the only non-renewable resource we have. There are many, many people who've made and lost and made and lost and made again money time and time again, because you can lose money, you can make it back again, but you can't not make up yesterday. I cannot make up last year. So in one sense, time is like money. I can spend it any way I want to, but unlike money, I only get to spend it once. So I don't want to waste my time. And how many of you like me are realizing it's going by awful fast? My birthday's next Sunday. I'm 29 again, plus tax, all right? 59 next Sunday. Can you imagine that? My cousin and I are born 9 days apart. His birthday was on the 8th. And so I texted him and said, hey, well, we call each other old man and we make fun about being old. And I said, hey, old man, you deserve an extra nap today. It's your birthday and all that. And he texted. Actually, we started kindergarten. We used to actually live with them when I was a little kid. And so he texted back and said, I know, 59. Can you believe that? And I'm like, wow, it goes by awful fast. And so time is really, really an important thing, and we only get to spend it one time. Let's not waste our life. What does God expect from us? The Bible says don't act thoughtlessly, which means you got to give some thought to this. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I mean, people give more thought to, you know, Esther's brother won a bunch of money last week for the Super Bowl because he gave a lot of thought. These guys give lots of thought, right? And then he does fantasy football. He gives lots of thought to the draft and who he's going to play. I mean, he's really into all this stuff there. And that's okay. It's all fine and good, and, you know. But man, why give thought? Are you giving more thought to that than to your life? To the purposes of God for your life? To eternal significance? He says here, don't act thoughtlessly. That means give it thought, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 10, verse 12 and 13. It's a very, very similar verse. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, New Living Translation. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? God requires stuff of us. Let's not waste our life. Do we know what he wants from us? What does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God. Now, that doesn't mean to be terrified of him. That means to honor him, to respect him, to reverence him, to hold him in high regard. Not to, we just sang, we're no longer slaves to fear. Not to be terrified of him. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. But to fear him means to honor him, to respect him. He requires that we honor him, respect him, fear him, and live in a way that pleases him. Well, we were reading in our book right now that we were made for God's pleasure. Live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. That's what he requires of us. In the next verse, verse number 13, you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today, and it's for your good. It's for your own good. Listen, everything God requires of us is for our benefit. Everything God commands of us is to make our lives better. It's for our good. Some said, oh, obedience costs. You think obedience costs? Try disobedience. That's where you got to pay a price. Everything else is for our own good. And he says here, God requires this of us, to obey his commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. I'm going to give you three things right here that God wants from us. Let's talk about this for a few minutes this morning. What does God require of me? What does God want from me? I don't want to waste my life. Number one, God wants all of me. He wants all of me. Not part of me. He wants all of me. Spirit, soul, body, my possessions, my money, my time, my gifts, my talents. God wants, God owns it all. We're simply stewards and God is the owner. Can you say amen to that? And one day we're going to give an account for how we use the things. In a way, it's like he loans it to us. It all belongs to him. Again, I was a paper boy when I was a kid. And so there was one neighbor on my street because you throw the paper to his house and he would go and he would collect, you know, in those days you would collect money, go knock on the door and collect for the subscription. So this guy had a really pristine yard up the street. And so he was going to go on vacation and he asked me if I would come every day and water his grass. And he was real picky about it, you know, set a timer, water the grass here, water the flowers there, water the backyard there. He was real picky about that. You follow me? What does God require of me? God wants all of me. And when he came, I was just there, and he actually gave me a key to the house and to the gate to be able to get and water the house and all that, water the grass and all that stuff. But it wasn't my house, it was his. And one day he was going to come back from vacation. And he was going to look around and see if stuff was dead. You follow? One time a friend of ours asked us to watch his bird and to take care of his dogs. And while he was gone, no joke, his bird died and his dogs got out. I didn't do a very good job, all right? Good thing he was my friend. After that, he was kind of half my friend, if you get my drift, all right? But my neighbor, it's a really true story. But my neighbor came back and one day he was going to come back from vacation. He was going to be gone forever. You follow me? And then I was after giving an account. He was going to look around and see, was the grass dead? Were the flowers dead and all that stuff there? And everything was okay. Then I was going to get my reward. I was going to get paid. Hey, one day we're going to give an account. All of this, we're stewards. God's the owner of everything. So number one, God wants all of me. What does God want from me? Number two, God wants to be first in my life. First, not just among many things that are important to me. He wants to be the most important thing in my life. God wants to be first. All kinds of things are trying to distract us. All kinds of things are vying to be first in our life. Priorities have a way of getting themselves all out of sorts. We have to be intentional about what is priority and what is first in our lives. So God wants all of me. God wants to be first in my life. And number three, God wants my life to glorify him. He wants my life to reflect his glory, to reflect his goodness, to reflect his purposes, to reflect why he made me. He wants my life to glorify him. What does God require of me? Number one, let's talk about this. God wants all of me. He wants all that I am. Spirit, soul, and body. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13, in the NIV, reads like this. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. God wants all of me. Have you given everything to him? Have you made him the Lord of your life? Until you do, something is missing. Until you do, it's just like, some of the guys might get this illustration better than some of the girls. It's like hitting on five cylinders instead of all six, instead of all eight. I used to have a Volkswagen Beetle, four-cylinder car, and one, I don't know how, but one spark plug wire used to fall off on that thing, probably used to drive it too hard or hit bumps or something, and when you're missing just one wire, 25% all of a sudden, it's one-fourth, you know, you can really feel that thing running really, really rough, and so something's just missing until I give everything to him. Have you given him everything? Is he Lord of your life? He can be today. before we leave today, we're going to have a chance to pray and give him all that we are, everything. He wants all of me. Matthew 22, 37, when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment of all? In Matthew 22, 37, New Living, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He wants everything. God wants all of me. What does he want from me? Everything. All that I am. He wants my life, my resources, my time. He wants to be first in my life. And that's number two. God wants to be first in my life. We're going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, and read a story here in Luke 10, verse number 38, about how God wants to be first in my life. In Luke 10, 38, New King James, now what happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, if he is first in my life, his word is first in my life, because God and his word are one. And so when I see it in the word, I say, I'm going to live that. When God is first in my life, his word is first in my life. And so he's at the house of Mary and Martha. Martha's busy doing stuff. Mary sits at his feet and is hearing his word. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Guys, are you distracted today? You know, things that are legit can distract us. Serving is legitimate. Nothing sinful about serving. Nothing wrong about serving. But it was distracting her away from Jesus. Jesus was sitting there in her house teaching the word, and she's busy trying to make sure everything is clean and everything is ready and all the glasses are filled and everybody has their plates filled or whatever it was. That's all legitimate stuff, but it was a distraction away from Jesus. Not all distractions are necessarily wicked or sinful or evil. They're just distractions. What's your life like? Are there distractions? Are there things right now where you know God has tugged on your heart saying, that may be a bit big in your life. That's pulling you away from time with me. Distractions. She was distracted. It doesn't say she was out sinning. It doesn't say she was given to wickedness. It just says she was simply distracted. But God wants to be first in my life. Martha was distracted with much serving, and then she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. I find that when people begin to give in to a lifestyle of distraction, they make all kinds of excuses for it and try to get God to rationalize it in their mind. Lord, I guess you don't care. She's left me. I'm doing this all by myself. This has to be done. I have to do this. I mean, this is the reason why I'm not listening to you, Lord. This is the reason why I'm not going to church on Sunday. This is the reason why I'm not serving anywhere. This is the reason why I'm not honoring you with my tithe. This is the reason why I'm not praying. This is the reason why I don't forgive those who hurt me. And on and on and on and on. We rationalize this stuff and try to get God to agree with it. Don't all say amen at once. And just like here and just like now, God doesn't agree with that. All right? And so she's trying to get Jesus to agree with this. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary is chosen. And listen, it always comes down to a choice. You are in charge of your choices. Amen. And it always comes down to a choice. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. God wants to be first in my life. Classic verse on this is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's a choice. Will you put him first? Will you seek him first? Will you be aware of distractions, of things that try to enter in and choke the word in your life? What kind of distractions right now are tugging at your relationship with him? What kind of distractions can be legit, can be you know, fine and good, not evil, not sinful, just simply distractions? Are there time wasters right now that are just pulling away, and you can't get that time back from your time with Him? Well, God wants all of me, and God wants to be first in my life, and God wants my life to glorify Him. And Isaiah 43, verse 7, New Living Translation, the Bible says, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them." You were made for the glory of God. You were made to glorify Him. I was made for His glory. All things were made for His glory. You and I were made with purpose. God's given us purpose. So we're talking about this year, our year of purpose, especially this first part of the year. And God wants my life to glorify Him. How do I do that? And if you're current with your reading right now, what I'm going to share next is from weeks. Today is day number 7 in reading, is today's reading, all right? How can I bring glory to God? First of all, I bring God glory when I enjoy Him, when I delight myself in Him. And that purpose is called worship. Worship is more than singing a song. Worship is more than playing music. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Worship is to enjoy His presence, to joy in Him, to rejoice in Him. Aren't there just certain things in life that you just enjoy, that just bring you joy? Esther's born and raised up in northern New Mexico, and we go up there every year. And in the summertime, her brother has land and up in the mountains. And it's already in the mountains where she lives, where she grew up. But this is like in the mountains, all right? And you go up there. I love going up there. And there's this view that he's built a nice cabin, and there's like a porch, and we have chairs. And you look at this kind of valley, and there's it smells amazing, and the sky's blue. And there's a pair of golden eagles that nest up there, and every now and then you get to see them. And then we go for a walk, or you kind of can go on the other side of the mountain because her family and cousins and uncles own this chunk of land, and it's kind of divided up. There's a spring. We drink spring water. It comes right out of the ground, ice cold. I mean, it's like the best water you ever tasted, you know. And we shoot guns, and not at each other, okay, but yeah, it's a wide open space. There's just nothing up there, you know what I mean? And it's just, I really, really enjoy it. It's like, do you understand what I'm saying? It's almost indescribable how wonderful that is. And maybe there's something like, maybe Esther and I in the summertime, we like to go for a walk. We just walk around Puddingstone. You know, we don't live, it's a short drive from our house. We live in San Dimas, and on a clear day, especially, the mountains are there, and the sun's hitting them, and the water, I love water. We in the summertime, we'll walk on the beach. That's something we just really, there's just something, I mean, so you have things like that too, right? Right? If not, start today, find something, okay? But all that pales in comparison to enjoying Him. What I'm trying to say is, what people don't realize, you can enjoy God just like that. Like, ah, oh, Your presence. Ah, oh, you're so good. God is a God of beauty. You know, you have to come over and see our kitchen. Finally got done, man. We had washed dishes in a tub in the bathtub for 2 months, okay? I cooked on a Coleman stove for 2 months, all right? Live in the garage for about 6 weeks, all right? Because I had no kitchen. But now we put granite, and I think it's very beautiful what we chose. And just every morning, I'm sitting this morning, and I enjoy a hot cup of coffee too. Oh, fresh ground, oh baby, all right? So I'm sitting here this morning, thinking, God, you're a God. This granite came from the earth you created. It came from Brazil. And it's just, all they did was they carved it, you know, however they call it, whatever, you know, carved it, whatever you call that. There's a word for that. Hewed it out. There's probably some word I don't know, but there's a word for that. They polished it, made it into a slab, and now it's on my counter. That's all they did, didn't do anything else to it. I mean, it wasn't like it was man-made. It was God-made, just carved out of the ground, polished, and it's just absolutely beautiful. You're a God of beauty.
Amen.
And so we glorify God, all right? When we worship, we just enjoy Him. That glorifies Him. God, thank you. I just worship you. I thank you for your goodness. I just enjoy you. I'm just so fulfilled in you. No wonder we have eternity, because we can never in one lifetime experience your goodness. So how do I bring glory to God? I bring glory to God when I just enjoy Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Gladden yourself in Him. Rejoice in Him. Guys, I grew up in church. I never knew this was possible with God. We worship God from a sense of love, not duty. I grew up with a sense of duty. You know, almost afraid of, what if I don't? God's going to punish me. God's going to get me. And God's going to send me to hell and all this stuff like that, you know? And so there's no enjoyment. That's slavery. There's no enjoyment in that. That's not what God's after. God doesn't want slaves. He wants a family. He wants people to love Him. That's what we're commanded to love Him. The greatest commandment, love God. Just love Him. Everything else, everything, prayer, obedience, generosity, service, faithfulness, just flows out of it naturally, like branches on a tree. Just flows out of all that. It's not duty, it's love. You with me? So I bring God glory when I enjoy Him. Man, we could talk about that for a long time. How do I bring glory to God? Number two, I bring God glory when I love other believers, when I love you. I love coming to church on Sunday. If I wasn't pastor, I'd still come. I mean, I committed myself to go to church way before I was ever a pastor. I made up my mind to be here today in 1978. It's a long time ago. Most of you weren't even born yet. Thank you very much. Makes you feel old now, all right? I didn't decide to come to church today. Today, maybe some of you did. I didn't, all right? I made up my mind a long time ago. This is how I'm going to live my life. And that purpose is called fellowship. To love one another. I love to get up here and teach. I love to get around. I know some pastors and some ministers, they're like, you know, they only come out to speak and they go hide in their cocoon somewhere. That's not me. I like to hang around, shake hands, talk to people. I'm in the lobby before, I'm in the lobby afterward. I'm not hiding myself. I enjoy all this. We enjoy having people over. I love being with the family of God. And I don't get people who don't. I understand you might be kind of an introvert. Believe it or not, I'm a little bit more, compared to Esther for sure, a little bit more on the introverted side. You might say, that's not even true. Be that as it may, all right? But I enjoy being around you. I enjoy being around the people of God. I love this part of all of this fellowship. Well, I glorify God. I mean, can you imagine saying, well, can I tell somebody, you know, Pastor Kevin, I love you, but I don't want to be around your family. How would that make you feel? Your wife, your kids, you can have them, but, you know, so that's what it is when people say, I love God, I just don't want to go to church. Thank you for enthusiasm, everybody. You guys are here. It's the people who aren't here that we know. I mean, what are they saying to God? I love you, I just can't stand your family. And the Bible goes as far as to say the church is the bride of Christ. I love you, I can't stand your bride. That's fighting words. Am I right? Anyway, so we worship God. We bring Him glory, I should say, when we love God's family. That's called fellowship. Number three, I bring glory to God when I become like Him, when I become like Jesus. And that's called discipleship. We're going to study all these purposes now in these next weeks as we're reading through Purpose-Driven Life. I bring God glory when I become like Christ, because that's God's aim and He is the standard. It's not some entertainer, not some athlete, not some business person. Jesus is the person we're trying to become like. And that's called discipleship. Number four, I bring God glory when I serve others with my gifts. God gave me all these gifts not to be self-centered. God gave me gifts to serve others with those gifts. You know, the fruit on a tree isn't for the tree. The tree's already alive. The fruit is for others to enjoy. And the seed for more fruit is in the fruit, not on the trunk of the tree. So all the gifts and talents and abilities God's given to you are to serve others. And you have amazing, amazing gifts. Every one of you does. Maybe you don't see it yet. Or maybe you're still locked in the trap of, I don't have that gift. I'm not like her. I'm not like him. No, you're not. You're like him. Amen. Wow. So I glorify him when I serve others with my gifts. The Bible calls that ministry. And so whatever it is, you know, people have such a, Esther has amazing gifts I don't have. That's why I need her in my life. I got one or two gifts. She's got 50 of them. You know what I mean? It's just amazing. And so all together, though, we can serve. And so I glorify God when I serve others with my gifts. And then I bring God glory when I tell others about him. Just let my light shine. Just tell others about Jesus. I'm not saying to go shove it down someone's throat. I'm just saying when the opportunity arises, just let others know I serve God. You know what? I'm going to be praying for you. How can I help you? You know, here's what God's done in my life. When I faced something like that, I prayed. I went to church. The church prayed. Here's what I do. Hey, come. We want to come see what church is like. I'll pick you up. Just come and see what it's like, you know. You don't have to do anything. You don't got to give anything. You don't have to say anything. Just come and see. I glorify God when I tell others about Jesus, and that's evangelism. So what I'm saying is this. What are you going to live your life for? What's the purpose of your life? Will you put God first? Man, will you put him first? Will you commit to God's purpose for your life? Worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, evangelism. You might wonder, man, you know, what if I mess up? What if I fail? Do I have what it takes to live for him? Here's what I know. God gives you what you need if you make the choice to live for him. We do this by faith. You follow me? I found in my life that as soon as I made the choice, as soon as I committed, as soon as I crossed the line to put him first, his power was present to do it. His power was present to live it out. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That is a huge promise. That means that God gives me the desire and the power to fulfill it. That means I don't got to do this in my own strength. Remember the 13s, 2:13 and 4:13 is I can do all things through Christ, whose strength is me. Same book, Philippians. It's not in my own strength I do. What I got to come up with is the commitment. My responsibility is to make the choice. God's part is the desire and the power and the ability to do it. And I found in my life, once I crossed the Rubicon, once I made the choice, the power was present. The ability was there. Will you do this? God's inviting all of us to live for his glory. He's inviting us to live for him. He's inviting us to live a life of fulfillment, of purpose, with rewards awaiting for us in heaven. Will we do it? Will we commit ourselves to the purposes he created us for? And this is our year of purpose. Will you commit to God's purpose for your life? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. This is our year of purpose. Man, this is what we're created for. what we're designed for. This is what's pleasing to you. And this all begins with a personal relationship. The very first thing is saying yes to Jesus and making him the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our hearts. Lord, thank you. If we could just for a second here have every head bowed and every eye closed and just in a real attitude of prayer before the Lord today. Friends, where's your heart before Jesus today? If you've never asked him to come into your heart and made him the Lord of your life, I would love to pray for you this morning, if you'd allow me to. If you'd say, yes, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know if I've done this or I've never done this. I want to do the starting point. Make Jesus the Lord of my life. Believe in him and receive him into my heart as Lord and Savior. We're going to pray right now. And if you'd say, yes, please pray for me, I'm going to ask you to do one thing in just a second here. I'm going to ask you, just lift your hand up high where I can see it. And then we're going to pray. And I'll lead us in prayer right where you sit. And God hears and God answers and does what only he can do. If you're already a believer, but right now things aren't right with God and you just want to get things right with God today, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand in just a second right here. And again, we're going to pray. And I'll lead us in prayer. Heartfelt prayer. Bold prayer, honest prayer. And God hears, and God answers and does it only he can do. That's the beginning point right there. If we don't do that, nothing else is really going to matter if he's not Lord of our lives. Are you ready? If you would say today, yes, please pray for me. I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life today. Right where it said, could I please see your hand right now if that's you? Hold it up high where I can see it. We're going to pray right now. Anyone this morning, thank you. See your hand. Anybody else? Yes, please pray for me. We're going to pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for his goodness. All right, let's all raise one hand together. Let's all pray together. And I invite you to raise your hand to just today really, really pray this with all your heart. And let your heart agree with these words today. And let's all pray together as a church family. Let's pray like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. Today I receive you into my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. Lord, I commit myself to your purposes, to your plan for my life. You created me for a reason. Thank you. Work out your plan and your purpose in me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. Work out your plan and purpose. I pray a blessing upon your people. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. And all we set our hand to do, our steps are ordained by you. We're living in divine protection. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon our lives as we grow. We're hungry. We want to learn more. Thank you so much. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for coming today. Come back next Sunday. Welcome Pastor Kevin as he comes today. Thanks, Pastor Kevin.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the Word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m.